Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. My dear friends, it must have been quite a sight. I wonder if the Israelites in the wilderness protested at the elaborate details and the exorbitant expense of making such vestments for Aaron. They have to scuttle the plans until the voters could approve the design and the expense? Did they put it out for bids to see if someone had a source of pure gold or blue dye that they might come in under budget and then just put the rest on some kind of second mortgage on the place? I don't know why one priest needs to be dressed in something way more elaborate and costly, they might say, than anything we buy or make for ourselves. Does Aaron think he's better than we are? Or what about this? When my grandkids became priests in Egypt, they had to save up all their own money to purchase vestments. No congregation was buying those for them. Or, I don't see why we have to use all this gold. Tin would look almost as nice for a tenth of the price. Nevertheless, when God commanded what sort of frock Aaron was to be dressed in as he was consecrated as the high priest, his orders were strangely particular. First, there was the ephod, made of gold, with two gold shoulder pieces, each with an engraved onyx stone with six names of the sons of Israel on it. It was joined together with blue and scarlet yarns and fine linen. Then there was the breast piece, matching the ephod, of gold with blue and scarlet yarn, fine linen, 12 different stones on this, most of which we kind of just guess at when we're translating what these are. They put in gold settings, two gold rings attaching it to the ephod. Then there was the robe, all blue, with blue and purple and scarlet pomegranates on the hem, interspersed with golden bells. Next, there was the engraved gold plate attached with a blue cord to the front of Aaron's turban. And finally, a cloak, the turban, and a sash made out of fine needlework. And all of these Aaron was to wear so that as he presided as the high priest, he would not die. I guess you might change it a little bit. Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be Israelite high priests. It's hard to parse out all of the spiritual meaning in this apparel. Clothing is unavoidably physical. And yet, despite the beauty of the vestments, no matter how real the priesthood of Aaron and his sons were, as well as the Levites, they were merely shadows of something more real, of a more permanent priesthood, of a high priest whose service endures continually. Aaron's vestments, kind of like a pastor's vestments, are a sign of the beauty of the office he occupies, an office that does not truly belong to him. He's merely the one who stands in front of you and kind of looks like the one who stands between God and his people. The vestments actually signify neither Aaron nor the pastor, but Christ. The office is beautiful because of Christ, and no matter the grotesquerie and indecorousness of the men of the office, it still stands. Aaron is no longer able to intercede between God and men. Nor am I, actually. But behold the man. There is one to intercede, one who is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, the priestly king of righteousness. Behold the man who, though also God, intercedes for men before God. Behold God, who has become man, and who, as man, intercedes. He prays for us, humanity. Who wants an intercessor? A priest, a go-between, though, right? If you have a go-between, if you have to have someone go to the person you need to talk to, it kind of lets you know that you're insufficient for the task of getting yourself to God. An intercessor implies that you cannot simply climb the ladder to heaven to plead your own case, that Jesus takes on human flesh to be an eternal priest between men and God implies that you, on your own, are not good enough. You need someone else to take up your case. Behold the man. Because if you're honest with yourself, you are not. Who seeks for God as he ought? Whose thoughts are undistracted in prayer? Whose hatred for, okay, maybe we'll just call it annoyance with his brother, does not interfere with the orientation of prayer? Who loves God perfectly enough to be able to approach him in prayer? Who keeps the Sabbath perfectly? Who hears the word of God gladly and regularly? Who uses the name of God correctly, never slipping in an OMG when things don't go according to plan, and calls upon it regularly when the catechism prescribes prayer? Who? Not you. No one. You are a sorry excuse for your own priest. So, behold the man. Jesus is the perfect high priest. Sinful mankind cannot approach a holy God. We need someone to take our place, to plead our case. Behold the man. Jesus has taken your flesh. He will take up your cause before his heavenly Father. Behold the man. In Jesus, God has a voice that he can raise before the Father. He has hands that he can fold in prayer. He has a head that he can bow correctly and reverently. Behold the man who prays perfectly. Behold the high priest whose office, whose role is to pray for you, beloved. Behold the man who prays for you without ceasing. Jesus has hands to raise in prayer. He has eyes so that he can lift them up. He has lips that can shape syllables. He has vocal cords that can craft those words that his Father will hear. He is man so that he can intercede for men. And for what does he pray? For his disciples, for his church, for you. Because sinners cannot approach a holy God, Jesus intercedes. Because rebellious man's petitions will fall on deaf ears, the only obedient Son of God has taken flesh in order to pray for you, to give voice to your prayers. Since you cannot keep yourself from sin, from idolatry, from rebellion, Jesus prays that the Father would keep you, that he would keep you in his name, which was put upon you in the waters of baptism, that he would keep you from the evil one, which we ask in the last petition of the Lord's Prayer. Jesus, as perfect God and man in one person, prays for you. Behold the man who prays for you constantly before his heavenly Father. So in Jesus, who prays for you without end, you are no longer rebels against your heavenly Father. You are no longer sinful aliens. You are no longer unable to bend the Father's ear with your petitions. You are in Jesus, and Jesus prays perfectly. Not because you pray regularly or correctly, but because you are in Jesus, your prayers are perfect. Because Jesus lifts up his hands perfectly in prayer, so do you. Because Jesus lifts up his eyes perfectly in prayer, so do you. Because Jesus' voice is perfectly attuned for prayer, so is yours. Because Jesus is the man who intercedes for the rest of mankind, as man, you have hope. You have a Lord who prays for you. You have a man who redeems mankind. You have the God who became man for you. You have a Savior. You have the man on the cross. Behold the man, the priest who bids you pray and prays for you without ceasing. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.